You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online at wdiy.org. And that's listening anytime, even if you're outside our listening area. So tell your friends, WDIY.org. Today is June 11th, 2014. Welcome to the show. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 16,843, the NASDAQ at 4331, and the S&P at 1943. Last week, I took listeners' questions. We had a great variety, and I appreciate it. And we are live tonight. We have a guest on the show this evening who's calling in. We are discussing graduation debt and how to manage student loans and live your life. It's going to be a great show. Judy Ann is in the studio. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do the best to answer them. I hope that we have lots of questions regarding graduation debt and student loans this evening. If you have questions, you can call in at 610-658-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So, as I mentioned, we have a guest this evening, author and journalist Raina Goebel, MBA, MJ. Raina has written the second edition of Cliff Notes, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. It's available at Barnes & Noble. The book discusses how to manage student loan debt with step-by-step scenarios and discussions on evaluating your student loan debt situation, organizing your debt payments, consolidating your federal loans, managing your private loans and payoff strategies, and more, much more. Raina, are you with us?
I am very much with you. Hi. And I'm happy to answer your questions and your listeners' questions. I'm here for the hour.
Very good. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became so interested in this topic?
Well, the biggest reason is I had a default in the early 2000s. When I was going back to school, I had 16 loans. I forgot one in consolidation, and I found out I couldn't get new loans to return to school because I had a default. And it's so easy to forget one when you have 16, and I got on an affordable repayment plan to get out of default. In a few months, it was wiped from my credit report. I returned to school, and now I have an MBA and a master's in journalism, and it was so easy to do, but it's also so easy to get confused. So I thought, well, how can I help other people to avoid my confusion and also be able to pay off their debt better and faster and manage it while they still have it and still live the rest of their life? And so that's why I wrote this book.
And it's a great book, by the way.
Thank you. And
I got through probably half of it and skimmed the second half of it, and I appreciate your publisher sending it out. I understand it's a very hard book to get now.
Yes.
And has sold out in some venues. So we do know it's available at Barnes & Noble. But we have a lot to cover, and I know we're not going to be able to cover everything that's in the book tonight. But what I'd like to do is break the showdown into a couple parts, because the book covers some information about student loans, very important information, and probably most of the show will concentrate on that. But also a very important part of the book is also budgeting and how to manage it and how to get through it. And I hope that we have time to discuss that as well. So we will kind of go over that. So if you could first kind of give us a big picture of what student loans look like in this country, I think that would help give some perspective. And right before you do that, I just want to mention, I love that I have the opportunity to talk to you and that you've written this book, because I think so many people don't talk about their student loans. They just don't. And I've mentioned, to a couple of people in passing today, oh, I have, you on the show tonight, and I'm so excited. And they said, oh, my gosh, the elephant in the room. And then you find out that people who are, late 30s, 40s, and some even in their 50s still have student loan debt. So I think it's very, very timely. So if you would like to kind of give us a big picture of what student loans look like, and then we'll kind of take it from there as well.
Sure. I think, number one, people hear the $1 trillion number and get really scared. But the important thing about student loans is they have more repayment options, more options for when you get into financial trouble than any other loan. And one thing that I really focus on in the book is you get embarrassed by your student loans. As you said, it's the elephant in the room, but that elephant gave you the career you wanted. Mm-hmm. It helped you with your education. Yes, you overspent some of your student loan refund checks, but who didn't? Somebody else may have overspent on a credit card at one point, but be proud of your education and start thinking about how you're going to manage your money overall, which will help you in every aspect of your life, and also what you want to be doing with your career and how you can advance yourself from here, because we have a great life to live and we have a great education that gives us so much flexibility. So let's enjoy what we have and get on a repayment plan we can afford if we aren't on one already, and just think about how can I live with this debt. And if your friends say, oh, you've got so much debt, or you're worried about it with your new or yet to be or current significant other, there are many worse ways to accumulate debt, but also we're all human beings, and congratulations on your education. You worked hard for it, and you worked hard for that debt. I hate to say this about student loans, but really, really be proud of it. Be proud of your education and just think of what it's going to do for you with your life, and work hard to have the career and the life that you want.
I think that's a great approach, because it is with that positive energy that helps us get things done, and looking at all the positives. And I love that you said it got you the career you wanted.
Yeah.
So I think it is all worth it. Let's talk about what different kinds of loans there are. We hear about subsidized, unsubsidized, and federal loans, private loans. Can you give us in a nutshell what those mean?
Sure. The two main types of federal loans are, or at least for undergrads, are subsidized and unsubsidized. Subsidized means that while you're in school and in certain other allowed periods, the government will pay your interest rates for you. So if they're paying your interest during school, that can save you a few thousand dollars, depending on the amount of debt. The unsubsidized loans, which you'll normally have a little bit of both, I know I did, then the interest is always accruing no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the income-based and pay-as-you-earn, there is a time period where the government will pay your interest on those subsidized loans as well. Then there are PLUS loans, which are issued at a higher interest rate for grad students and parents. Parents are one area that I worry about a lot, because they can borrow a lot more than students.
Mm-hmm.
So parent PLUS loans, to me, are the scariest kind of loan. And then the other kind of loan are private loans. And private loans previously were the real elephant in the student loan room,
mm-hmm.
because they don't necessarily have the same options for repayment, or if you get into economic trouble. They may have some, but it's up to the individual lender / servicer what they offer you. But those also used to be issued only at variable rates, which means the interest rate could go up, could go down, and of recent, student loans are always at fixed rates. But lately, private lenders have kind of said, we should issue some of these at fixed rates, and sometimes even lower rates than what the government is offering. But you don't get those same repayment break options,
mm-hmm.
and different plans if you do get into financial trouble. So I do recommend private loans for $5,000, $10,000, where you're already working, you're going back to graduate school, you're going to be working in grad school, you know you're going to pay this off within a year or two. Then they're great. Otherwise, federal all the way. If you can't pay for it all with federal, you really need to reconsider what school you're going to, go slower, do something, because I want you to be happy when you get out. If you've already got the private loans, then you read Chapter 4, I believe, on how to take care of it, or tweet me. You can always tweet me.
Yeah, we'll talk.
And talk to your servicer as well.
We'll talk about that as well. And I think that you also mentioned in the book, one of the reasons the federal loans are nice is sometimes people go back to grad school and then there's some better benefits. And maybe we'll get to that as we go through the show. And folks, if you have questions, the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. I have with me the author, Raina Goebel, of Cliff Notes, the second edition of Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. So if you have questions, tonight's a great night to call. The phone number, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back to the show, folks. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the on the air with me this evening, Raina Goebel. She is the author of the Cliff Notes, second edition, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. And she also is an MBA, journalist, author, it's a professional speaker, and has written a great book. It's very easy to read, and I feel like she's a real advocate for the student coming out of school with a debt. And in fact, for folks who are thinking about going to school, this is a great primer for you as well to make sure that you kind of go in with your eyes open. So, Raina, we talked a little bit about the different kinds of loans that there are, and you know, federal, private, subsidized, unsubsidized. Let's talk about the book now, because as I started going through it, when I said it's easy to read, it really is so interesting. And there was some information that I found out as well, like I didn't know that people could sell your student loans. And I also think that sometimes people think because they got a private loan for school that that's the same student loan as the federal loans. But you talked in the first chapter, there's like a quiz, and then so I thought that we could kind of go over that, and also that there's a government website. So if you know, if you have the book in front of you, if you could still buy it, there's the first chapter says evaluating your student debt situation, and it has some questions, and then it also talks about the National Student Loan Data System. I believe that's a website. Can you talk about that for a little bit so people can kind of take an inventory?
Sure. And I think first I just want to note real quick, it sold out on Amazon, but you can buy it on Amazon still if you want to wait 2 to 4 weeks. But you can go to barnesandnoble.com right now or go to your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and buy it there as well. You can even click pick up in store to make sure it's reserved, because I want everyone that needs this to be able to get it as soon as possible. So that's really important.
Okay.
And then when it comes to the National Student Loan Data System, this is one of those websites that I'd write a love letter to because it is so helpful, because it lists all your loans that are federal. For private, you need to get your credit report. And you can go to the annual credit report site and get those credit reports for free. And it lists pretty much all your loans. And while you're at it, you can make sure that everything is correct. Make sure it doesn't show any missed payments on your federal as well, and then challenge it if there's something that is incorrect. When it comes to your federal, what's really great about the National Student Loan Data System is it will tell you if they're in repayment, if you have a default. It will tell you information on how to contact your loan servicers. And to the point about you might get confused on whether your loan is federal or private, when I went to school, which even wasn't that long ago, they had loans that were part of the federal family education loans. And they were federal loans, but they were issued by banks. So I had loans from Wells Fargo. I had loans from Sallie Mae. But you could have also had a private loan from Wells Fargo or Sallie Mae. So it got really confusing for some people. So, but lo and behold, you look up your information on these two sites. You look up your credit report. You look up the federal loan site, and you'll have all the information you need, plus a little bit more on your credit, which is one thing that I talk about in the book, too, because it's not just about your student loans themselves. It's about, I want you to leave feeling confident and in control of your finances. I want you to find ways to tweak your budget without hurting your lifestyle. I want you to be a smarter, happier, better financial being when you're done reading this. And I do encourage people to look at the index. You don't have to read every single page. I don't know if I read every single page of other people's books. So just look at the information you need. And if there's something else that you want to skim back to, feel free. I won't get offended.
I'm getting distracted by looking at the book myself while you're talking.
It's okay, go for it.
Well, what's wonderful and what I want to point out to folks is sometimes they don't understand the terms themselves. So I suppose even when they go on those websites and find out the different loans they have, there may be even descriptions that they might not understand. And you do talk about that in the book as well. You talk about the difference between subsidized and unsubsidized. You talk about the difference, you know, between consolidated loans and direct loans. And that little checklist that you have at the beginning kind of helps people organize the differences in those loans, takes it like an inventory of them. I also like in the book, you have charts, you have little caution boxes, and a lot of different descriptions. The other thing I realized, too, this book, like, it had information. It said news for July 2014, so it's quite current. This is a second edition, but it is quite current. And I guess the next part of the book, you know, when I was thinking about what to talk to you about, there was something called a loan rehab, and I had not heard of that before. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. And one thing that I personally believe in is that there's no such thing as the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
You can recover from anything and everything. And what's really great about defaults, let's say that it said after a few months you defaulted on your loan. Let's say you don't even find out about it for years. Well, you can make a certain number of payments, and it's removed from your credit report. You don't want to consolidate it until you verify that it's been removed from your credit report. But when I went to school, or when actually I was working on getting out of default, my affordable repayment, I was only making $24,000 a year, and they said, you can afford $200 a month. And I said, well, I want to go to school, figure out how to afford $200 a month. If that's what you consider an affordable repayment for me, fine. Well, now it's based on income. I wouldn't have been paying near that per month, and I would have gotten out of it within a few months. And so July 1st, this was an option before that, but on July 1st, no matter who your guarantee agency is, they will be required to use an income-based formula. So it's even easier to get out of default than it ever has been. And one thing that I really worry about, please make your payments or get it. Payment breaks such as deferment or forbearance if you can't make the payments right now, or look into income-based or pay-as-you-earn or all your different repayment options, because there's something you can afford or there's just a break where you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to go into default if you know the loans exist.
Now, this income-based formula, you said that's new for July 1st?
The income-based for default.
For default, okay.
Yeah, there's pay-as-you-earn, which is the best when it comes to loans that are current.
Mm-hmm.
It's just if you have more recent loans, which may be changing December 2015 based on the president's recent announcement, more people will qualify for that. But don't wait till December 2015 to start on your payments. And there are great calculators which are available on my website, graduationdebt.org. But also, talk to your servicers and ask them questions. Make them calculate this stuff for you. They work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to feel shy about asking questions. They're employed by you. They're servicing your loan. Would you feel shy asking your credit card company a question? No. Just because it's the government, you're paying interest in many ways through your taxes and the student loans. They work for you.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to take our next break. I want to talk to you a little bit more about the guaranteed income base formula and the deferment and default. I want to go over that default just one more time for our listeners to make sure they understand that. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. And Judy Ann can take your call off air as well. She can write the question down, bring it into the studio, and I'll make sure I ask Raina the question for you. Questions can also be sent through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I can forward those to Raina as well with your contact information if you have questions. And little later in the show, we'll talk about her Twitter, so we can tweet questions as well. We'll be back in just a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening author Raina Goble, author of The Cliff Notes, second edition, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. If you have questions, you can call and talk live on air with us or off air. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Raina, I want to go back to just one thing about the default. So someone goes into default, they think, oh gosh, I'm in the depths of despair, I'm defaulted, someone might come after me, and they're living their life in, you know, shadows and corners and things like that. So you're saying they can call their service provider, set up some type of a plan, and if they make scheduled payments for X number of months, then that default will come off their record? Is that what you had said? I just want to make sure I understood that part.
Yes, and the payments can be very low. It may be $50.
Okay.
And so it's pretty amazing. And you just have them calculate it for you. You talk to your guarantee agency. You can find the number for the guarantee agency by going to the National Student Loan Data System. It'll tell you who holds that loan. You just click on the loan. It tells you all the information you need. And make that arrangement. And don't say, oh, I can't afford it. Well, it's not going to be as much as you think it is, since it is based on your income. And you can't afford to keep a default on your record. It can cause you to lose a professional license. It can cause a lot of not so great things. But it is extremely easy to recover from. I promise. I've done it.
And I think that's a really important point, which you also make in your book, about how the default can affect your credit rating or your record, such that if you're trying to get a job so you can pay back these, it's like a vicious circle. So it's easier to kind of take care of these so that your record's clean, and then for future employers or housing or whatever, you've kind of clean that up a little bit. Let's talk about the difference between default and deferment and forbearance. Can you discuss that?
Sure. Well, of course, as you know, default is when your loan is considered not in repayment, and that it is a very negative status, kind of if you had a loan that was discharged, although they're never really discharged in the federal student loan system. If, like, you had a debt that was just considered bad debt at that point. A deferment means, or forbearance means, you're saying, I need to take a break economically. I can't afford this right now. But if you qualify for a deferment, if you have subsidized loans, then your interest is paid by the government during that time period. If it's a forbearance, then that's not the case. But the alternative to deferment is getting on an income-related plan, such as pay-as-you-earn or income-based, where you are starting to count down the clock as far as the maximum number of payments, which is either a maximum time period of 20 years or 25 years. If you're in deferment or if you're in forbearance, you are not counting down that clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are definitely some differentiation in these terms, which you go over in the book, which is why at the beginning of the show you said it's very important to pay attention to what kind of loans you're taking, because there may be repayment options, benefits to repayment options that you would have with the federal loans that you wouldn't have with the private loans. And this is basically what we're talking about here when you're talking about deferment and pay-as-you-earn type of scenarios that we've gone over.
Yeah, and actually sometimes, and it really is up to the lender and up to the servicer when it comes to private loans, they do give you a temporary forbearance option or a temporary situation where you might be able to pay a little bit less. I think just like anything else, like if you had to be late on your mortgage, you need to talk to them. You just have to remember they're not the government. They don't have the same mandates. It's up to them what they allow for you. And if you have a co-signer, normally it was mom and dad, even if you're in your 30s now, when you took out these payments, it was probably mom and dad. And mom and dad could have great incomes and great credit, and they're going to think, is like, wow, you've got a good co-signer. We want you to still keep paying your loans. You probably should be talking to your parents. And definitely talk to your parents before you stop making payments, because it affects their credit just as much as it does yours. It's as if they co-own a car with you. They kind of co-own your education until you pay it off. So remember that they'll be a lot madder when they find out that they can't refinance their house because you missed 6 student loan payments than if you had just said, is there some way I can borrow money? Is there something that we can do to maybe split the payment until I can afford to pay it all off again? Then they'd probably be in a lot better, on a lot better terms with you. And there's nothing more important than keeping on good terms with your family.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, we hear sometimes people will think that they can, if they can't afford their student loans, they'll just stop paying them, and, you know, they'll declare bankruptcy and, oh, all their student loans will go away. And we know that's not the case. So loans, student loans, are not forgiven in bankruptcy. But are there any programs out there for loan forgiveness?
There are tons. First of all, there's a very limited number of people that do qualify for bankruptcy, but it's a very high standard. You have to show that you can never pay these off. Mm-hmm. So it is a very high standard, but Ron Lieber, I can Google this, I read a New York Times article, it's also linked to on my website, that was fabulous, explaining student loans and bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. But there are forgiveness programs, public service loan forgiveness, for example. Mm-hmm. If you make on-time payments under specific plans, such as the income-related plans, then after 10 years, the rest of the money is forgiven. And you may qualify as a teacher for more programs for your state, or more programs as a healthcare worker if you're a nurse. So you really want to look at everything, and it's very possible that your employer could offer tuition reimbursement if you go back to grad school.
Mm-hmm.
That they may help you. Just got to make sure what the restrictions are. Do you have to work for them for X number of years if you do it? Will you have to choose specific courses, specific majors? Make sure you know, and even it could be that you have to attend a specific college, or they reimburse differently for different colleges. So you just got to be very aware of your options, and, you know, you may have a really terrific employer. I know employers have talked to me about this, where they actually offer some sort of student loan repayment as part of a condition of working for them, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some government entities that do the same thing. So everybody, talk to your human resources and see what kind of benefits you have. You may be surprised what they are, and you may even find out something Oh, it's really great. Maybe they're going to give you a discount on a gym membership while they're at it.
You know, at the end of every show, I always say be proactive, not reactive. And you're a testament to that where, you know, you're telling people this right now and also in the book, too. By using the book, you can kind of be proactive in making those decisions. And when you even go to interview for jobs, if it is your goal to get a graduate degree, that might come into play in your decision making of where you end up going to work. Raina, when we come back from our next break, we did have a caller call in off air, so I'll read that question as soon as we get back from our break. But folks, listeners, we have Raina Goble in the studio. She's the author of the Cliff Notes Second Edition Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. She's a real advocate for folks with student loans, and the book is very easy to read, and it's available through Barnes & Noble right now. And we will take your questions, 610-758-8810. We'll take them on air or off air. We'll be back in just a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have with me author Raina Goble, MBA, journalist, author, professional speaker, quoted in Money Magazine, Real Simple, The Washington Post, and has a website, and she's tweeting, and you can tweet her, and we're going to talk about that as we go a little bit later in the show. But Raina, I don't know if I had mentioned again, Graduation Debt. It's the name of her book. It's the second edition. We did have a call come in off air, and I want to give that phone number again, 610-758-8810. Folks can call in off air or on air. That's 610-758-8810. So, Raina, let me read this to you because I'm sure it's applicable to quite a few people out there.
Sure.
John had called in, and he said in the early 90s he defaulted on a loan, and a judgment was made. For the past several years, they've been taking my income tax refund. Quietly, he started sending $500 a month in, but he didn't want to draw attention to it and asked if this was a wise course of action because, you know, I think he's thinking if he can do $500 a month, maybe the service provider will think if he can do $500 a month, maybe that he can do more. Do you have any kind of comments on this situation?
Yeah, and first of all, hi, John. The first thing is that I wonder if it's federal or private because he didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
If it is federal, I mean, things have changed with default, and I wonder if you could get on something so that it can be cleared for your credit, number one. And number two, I don't think it matters the exact amount that you pay. Now, if this was in the last year, per se, and you get on a payment plan. I mean, it's so hard to say because I don't know about if it's private or federal,
mm-hmm.
but I would call the guarantee agency and see what other options you have. It really doesn't matter if you think that you can pay more than the $500 as far as I'm concerned if it's federal,
mm-hmm.
because there is now something exact beginning in July, and July is not too far away. It's June.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely call your guarantee agency. And if you don't feel that you're getting the right answers, there is the Student Loan Ombudsman as well for federal loans. But if it's private, that's a completely different story. But I would definitely talk to the guarantee agency. I would talk to the ombudsman. If there's actual legal action, obviously, you will want to talk to the judge as well. But, you know, there may be more options than you think, and that's why I just think you need to make a few more calls and don't sit and hide. You have no reason to sit and hide. And you also have no reason to be embarrassed because, look, I had a default and I'm writing the book.
There's hope. There's hope for everyone.
There's plenty of hope. And I was so glad I returned from my education because I'm able to help a lot of people now. And I'm grateful for the education I have. I don't mind my debt because I know what it's given me and what I'm able to do for others. So don't be embarrassed. This stuff happens, and especially in the early 90s. I'm 37, so we're probably around about the same age. And so don't worry about it. This happens. You'll move past it. Now just see what you can do about it and move on from it. It'll be all right.
I think that's great advice, and I think that it's always better to kind of face it than to kind of let that stress overtake you. Again, it's that positive road, the optimism, and, you know, recognizing and accepting, let's do something about it, and hopefully he will be able to. And if it's private, there's the student ombudsman, not private,
federal.
If it's federal, you said there's the student ombudsman for that, and if he needs that, but to first go to the providers, and that could be whether it's the federal or private, to go to the source.
Yeah, and if you have questions on it, tweet me, John, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Now that you've mentioned that, Raina, let's talk about that for a minute, because talk about the Twitter and how do people tweet you.
Yeah, if you go, my Twitter handle is at Raina Goebel, so R-E-Y-N-A-G-O-B-E-L, and that's where I answer a lot of questions. And the big thing for me is I like questions to be asked on Twitter, because then the answers are on display for everyone. Mm-hmm. So then I help more people that way. I'm also going to be doing a chat on the 3rd of July with Michelle Singletary. So mm-hmm. I'll be answering questions with her for 2 hours. So feel free to ask me questions then as well. So you always have an opportunity to talk to me and to write me and to ask me questions, and I'm here. But I also want you to know the National Student Loan Data System, and whether you have a private or a federal loan, that those services, those guarantee agencies, they work for you in multiple ways, and you need to make them do calculations. You need to not be shy, and more importantly than anything else, you should not be ashamed of your debt. Kudos, John, for your education. Kudos, everyone, for your education. Now let's see what we can do with it. Don't be scared of your student loans. We face things that are way worse than that.
I'm going to mention your Twitter handle one more time. It's at Raina Goebel, and that is spelled R-E-Y-N-A-G-O-B as in boy, E-L. Raina, let's talk about loan consolidation, and then after that, I'd like to spend probably the last quarter of the show talking about budgeting a little bit, because I think that that's an important part as well, and that also goes with the positive reinforcement, looking toward the end, how do we get there, and making it all work, because that's a big part of the book. So first, let's talk about loan consolidation. Quite often, I'll have folks, you know, call and say, hey, you know, I have these student loans. Do you think I should consolidate them? And that's the question. And can you give us some guidance on that?
Sure. And I want to say that the word consolidation itself can get confused. You can get on an extended payment plan without consolidating your loans. And if you consolidate them and choose the consolidated payment, that can be up to 30 years, you may feel like you're on an extended plan, but that particular plan does not qualify for public service loan forgiveness after 10 years, for example. You have to be on an income-related plan for that to happen. So if you have any chance of public service loan forgiveness, which 25% of Americans do, so you may be surprised, you need to fill out that application before you think about anything else and know what your options are. Now, one time that I think someone should not consolidate their loans together, their federal loans, mm-hmm. there's actually two reasons why not to. Let's say you have some loans that are at 3.5%, and then you have other loans that are at 6.8%, and you know that in the next couple of years you're going to be able to make some extra payments on the 6.8% loans. Don't consolidate them yet. Choose an extended payment plan that just considers all the loans that you have, because then you can pay off those 6.8% loans faster. Mm-hmm. And then once you know, I'm not going to be making that many extra payments, or most of my loans are now the 3.4%, then consolidate them. Because once you consolidate, you can't say, I want to pay off the higher interest loans faster. It's a weighted average of all your loans, and it really doesn't matter. It's just paying off that debt. You might be able to pay it off faster if it stays unconsolidated, but you can still get on an extended repayment plan or one of the income-related ones that are based on your income.
Okay, I want to go over that in just a minute, because I did have someone ask me a question at work. They had heard, or someone, a client had said to them, that they thought if they consolidated the loans that it went to the highest interest rate. And you're saying it's the weighted average, so that's important to know. And then I want to clarify again, because it's a lot of information, folks. I mean, right. we're just touching on
the whole book.
You know, we're just touching on it. But it's all, to me, it's all about kind of putting the awareness out there. So the in your example of the 3.5% loan and the 6.8% loan, they could ask for an extended payment plan on the 6.8 if they needed that. But at such time, then maybe the loans are a kind of all a low rate. You said at that time they could do a loan consolidation. But with the...
It really only matters if you're sending in extra money. If you're not making extra payments, you don't really have to worry about it. But, and then how the weighted average works, just to make it really simple for someone, let's say half the loans were at 3% and mm-hmm. half the loans were at 6%.
Mm-hmm.
So nice, even numbers that we can calculate fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's 50%, 50%. Then when you combine the loans, it meets right in the middle because mm-hmm. it's 50% and 50% at 4.5%, mm-hmm. and that will be your new interest rate.
Okay. And then those, the loan consolidation would still qualify for the public service treatment, yes
only
or no?
Only if you choose an income-based, you can still, once you consolidate, choose an income-related plan.
Okay.
But if you don't, and you're just on the extended 30-year plan, you will not be able to qualify for these. And so that's what scares me.
Yeah.
And then certain ones you can't use PLUS loans, such as parent loans. So you just really, really want to be careful, especially if you have PLUS loans. Because let's say that you still have loans left from yourself, and then you have loans that are new for your child
mm-hmm.
that are parent PLUS loans. You want to be careful about consolidating those together and make sure you talk to your servicer about all your options.
Mm-hmm.
And also look on the web and, of course, read my book and ask me questions, because the less mistakes you make, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes, the better off you'll be. And I personally believe with student loans, it's not a crisis of how much money we have, because there are all these options for repayment plans and payment breaks. It's really a crisis of financial education, and that we don't do enough to educate people on the repayment plans. Look, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote 224 pages, so mm-hmm. there's a lot of information out there, and it's hard for everyone to know everything. So I just do my best to simplify the information as much as possible. And, you know, it takes you, say it takes you a few hours to read the book, or it takes you a few hours of research on websites to calculate things, it's going to save you a lifetime of headaches. Even if you're in trouble now, there's nothing that can't be overcome. You know, as long as we're alive, we can overcome anything. So I just want the listeners to know that, because it's very important that they know that these are recoverable things, and it's not going to affect the rest of your life. I mean, even credit reports, you have something appear for 7 years and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it gradually every year, it gets less and less, kind of like a heartbreak. Hurts really horribly bad the first day, and then depending on how bad you had your heart broken, or if it, you thought it was the love of your life, every day it gets a little bit better. So things get better.
That's cute. I want to give the phone number again, folks. If you have questions, you can call live on air or off air, whatever you're most comfortable with, or send questions through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. But the number in the studio is 610-758-8810, and you can give your question to Judy Ann. She can write it down and bring it in, and I will share it with Raina if you are a little bashful. Raina, I had someone ask if... They thought they had a student loan for medical school, and they thought that got treated differently than other student loans. Do you have any experience with that, or would you know that off the top of your head?
Whether it's a PLUS loan, I can look that up just to make sure, but you do, since it's a medical school loan, mm-hmm. you just want to check to see what type it is. Let me double check. I think it also depends on, I don't know if it was federal, I don't know if it's private.
Right. That's something I want to mention.
More detail, but feel free to email me more about it.
Yeah, that's something I want to mention. If folks do tweet you or contact you, there is information you would need even to give general answers, because
right.
you can't give specific answers to everyone. But if someone's looking for education and information for ways that they can, strategies for talking to the service provider, strategies for consolidating, strategies for loan forgiveness, strategies for these different programs, or which kind of loans you have. That's what the book's talking about, all of those strategies.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it is important for even you to answer general questions to know whether it is a private loan or a federal loan.
And there's so many different types of loans they could get for medical school that you need specifics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing I want to train the listeners to do, and just everybody to do, is to ask questions. We're taking back control, and that's what all of this is about. So you've got to understand what kind of loans you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do, you can ask the right questions. But it's kind of like if you told me, I have a car, and I want to know how much gas to put in. And I don't know if you have a smart car,
mm-hmm.
or if you have a Buick, mm-hmm. or if you have a school bus.
Or a diesel, right.
Yes,
right.
I have no idea. For right. all I know, you have one of those cars that also turns into an airplane.
Right.
And I just don't know. But if you tell me if you told me that you have an airplane, I really wouldn't know how much gas to put in. But
mm-hmm.
I might be able to use a calculator and figure it out. But mm-hmm. I can't do that without having the right information. So I think that's really important, because what I fear is someone may ask their servicer a question, and unless they tell them the right information, they're not going to be able to answer it. Or another thing I fear is that they look on the National Student Loan Data System and they're like, oh, my student loans weren't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shocked when you go on the National Student Loan Data System because you have less loans than you thought you did, my guess is that you just might have a private loan as well.
Uh-huh. Very good point.
And if you do, or you may have loans that you had your parents take out, and they weren't quite sure what the terms are and thought they might have been on your record. So your parents need to look up their records, but also you need to go to the annualcreditreport.com site and pull up your credit report and just make sure that there's nothing else on your record.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up our discussion. There's still plenty of time to call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking with Raina Goble, the author of Cliff Notes, Second Edition, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. And Jose had called in with a question unrelated to student loans, and I'll try to catch that at the top of the next coming in off the break. Okay? We'll be back in just a sec.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:48 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. I have in the studio, well, on the air with me, Raina Goble, MBA, author, journalist, professional speaker. And she has written Cliff Notes, the second edition, Graduation Debt, How to Manage Student Loans and Live Your Life. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call in off air or on air. Seems like people are calling in off air tonight. Raina, real quick, someone had called. And in fact, I wanted to mention, I'll take this question, but I want to mention that quite a bit of Raina's book is talking about budgeting and how you can mm-hmm. manage budgeting along with taking care of your student loans. And Jose had called in and said that he has a lot of medical bills. It's unrelated to student loans, but he had said he has a lot of medical bills and the hospital keeps sending him to collections. He's paying as he can. And is there anything else he can do to avoid getting sent to collections? And I would, mimic what Raina said about taking control and taking power and calling service providers and student loans. Jose, you could do the same thing with the hospital if you haven't already. Many of the hospitals will have programs for people who can't afford their medical bills. You'd be surprised, and they might need to look at your income and your tax returns. I don't know if they look at tax returns, but they'll definitely look at your income, and they may be able to work with you and cover some of those medical bills for you. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you have any insurance or not, but sometimes it's just a matter of timing of when a doctor or hospital submits those medical expenses and your insurance reimburses them. But Jose, I strongly suggest you call someone. If at the hospital, they'll put you in touch with the person at the hospital who takes care of these types of cases, and hopefully they will kind of help you through that. So I don't know, Raina, if you've had any experience with that, but
I've had it happen to me where they just didn't submit the right code, so mm-hmm. it looked like it wasn't covered, whereas it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to follow up that way. Also, you may be able, I've had friends that have done this, where they've been able to settle the amount for less than what it said.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you said, I can repay 60% of this, are you willing to take 60% to have this finished? Then that happens too. And if you happen to have other loans, like your federal student loans, that you could put on hold or choose a different repayment plan, maybe you can find a little bit of additional cash to just get rid of this. And so I think if you can find that in some way, and we'll talk about that in budgeting too, some easy ways that won't hurt your lifestyle, then that will help you a lot.
Let's talk about that. So I know that, too, you had mentioned in related to budgeting and people looking and forecasting kind of what they're going to have to spend or not spend in order to pay, to afford paying back. One of the things you had mentioned about federal loans versus private loans is sometimes there may be times or instances when a private loan may have a lower interest rate. And if it's for a very small, you know, for a much smaller amount, that might be an option. So in your inventory, folks, I'm going to go back, Raina, for a minute. In your inventory that Raina talks about early in the book, it's an inventory of what kind of loans you have and what rates you're paying, because you want to look at paying off higher interest rate loans first, and to whittle those down and take advantage of the lower rates on to stretch out those other payments. So, Raina, let's talk about some other ways that people can throw some extra money at student loans and when they'd want to do that, and what are some of your ideas of getting through this?
Sure. I think more than anything, the most important thing to do is think of emergency savings first.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can get breaks from your student loans. You can't just stop paying your mortgage for a year. So please make sure you have some emergency savings first, at least 3 or 4 months of your bare bones budget. I actually like Michelle Singletary's book for bare bones budgeting because she does a 21-day financial fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good companion to my book. One thing that I love to do with budgeting is everyone thinks that budgeting is this awful, painful thing. It really doesn't have to be. It can be that you look and go, wow, I spend a lot on spoiled groceries, or I think I should buy groceries, but I really eat out most of the time. So you end up with a lot of things spoiling, and that wastes money. I used to buy 10 heads of lettuce and just thinking, I'm going to eat 10 heads of lettuce this week. I'm just going to salad it up. And I have a very good friend that her and her husband both bought pre-prepared foods, and they had $500 in spoiled groceries. It's very common for someone to have $200 and $300 in spoiled groceries because they think they're going to eat out. And if they decide they're going to eat out, well, use sites like restaurant.com or even Groupon and get a discount on when you're eating out. And then take part home for leftovers for work the next day. And then you're eating out all the time, but you're saving money versus what you were spending because you're eating out anyway. Mm-hmm. You might as well help your budget. And no one is going to ever tell me not to drink my coffees out.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that would just kill my social life in New York City if I wasn't allowed to meet people for coffee. It would also kill my work life because, gosh darn, all meetings seem to take place over coffee. Mm-hmm. And the roasting plant has the most amazing coffee ever, and I don't know what I would do without it. So look at the things that are important to you. Save on the things that aren't. you can do without spoiled groceries. I had another friend that saved money by, and more than one friend, by reducing their car insurance rates by comparing. And I talk about that in the book. Building better and cheaper weddings and vacations. I talk about that in the book because you may have a much better vacation on $2,000 than what you thought you wanted for $5,000 if you really think about your wants and your needs and plan well. And I had a good friend, this is a tale of two friends, actually, that both of them planned their wedding for June of last year. One planned a wedding for $20,000 and one planned a wedding for $60,000. Mm-hmm. My friend that planned a wedding for $60,000 was a mess for 3 months beforehand and working two jobs to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And my friend that planned a wedding weekend for $20,000, they rented out this beautiful lodge. They followed the rules of my book. They thought about what was important to both of them. And they both love nature. So they rented a boat to take everybody over there. They paid for their family's rooms within that $20,000. They made their own centerpieces from pine cones and such. I got to be with her when she picked out her wedding dress that was vintage. Mm-hmm. She spent about, I believe, $1,000 for her wedding dress. Mm-hmm. The other friends spent $10,000. And the one who spent $20,000 on the entire wedding, they had a great time planning it for the months beforehand. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed every minute of it. My other friend did enjoy her wedding day, but I think she would have appreciated the hundreds of hours that she would have gotten back if she didn't spend $60,000 on her wedding. So you can have great weddings on $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. You don't have to spend $60,000. You don't have to get a $10,000 designer dress, because there are sample sales where you can get a $2,000 designer dress that's just as pretty.
You know, I think you just gave some great examples about having the things you want, but being smart about some of those decisions. Just an aside, my daughter also got married last year, and we did it very, very reasonably, and we all had a blast, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And you know, when you go to a wedding venue and they offer some table decorations, and they were beautiful. We didn't have to spend any money on table decorations, which probably saved thousands of dollars. So there's lots of things you can do, but, you know, to your point also, there's things that you want. And I think some people, again, they get overwhelmed by the student loans. They get overwhelmed by their debt. It doesn't even have to be student loans. They get overwhelmed and don't take any action. And I think that, you know, what you're talking about and your attitude about it is positive, and give yourself permission to have certain things, but also give yourself permission to take control, be empowered, make better decisions, and then I think it snowballs. You know, you start making better decisions, and you see the impact of those, and then you continue to make better decisions. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to give you a chance to kind of round things up. But I do want to point out to the listeners the book, The Index, Raina. The Index is 8 pages, folks. And what's so funny is when the caller had called in about the IRS taking his income tax, I thought, I wonder if Raina has that in the index, because I knew you talked about it in the book. And the index, IRS, page 36, 37, 39, 42, 178, 179, 180, 181. You have in the index a W-4, a W-2 calculator for withholdings. We call that the W-4. You have something, late payments. You have layoffs, lenders, pay cuts, the websites, just everything. And there's just a lot in this book. I really like the book, Raina.
Aww,
I think you did a really good job, and I really do think you're an advocate. So we have like another minute or so left. Can you wrap things up for us? I know you've already shown your passion around this and your advocacy. Any takeaways or comments you want to add?
Sure. There's a few takeaways, and thank you so much, Lori, for having me. I really enjoyed your show today.
It's very important.
I think the first thing that I want to tell people, and the most important thing, if you take one thing away from today, it's that you have control of this. There is never such a thing as a hopeless situation as long as we're alive. And I would say to look at your overall budget, think about what's important to you, not what's important to someone else. Don't live in a pretend world where you think, oh, if I get this raise, or oh, if I do this, or oh, if I do that. Deal with what is first, and when the other thing happens, great. In the meantime, also with a pretend world, don't pretend you don't eat out if you do. Eat out! But then find better coupons and better ways to do it. Get the wedding that will both make you happy and will make your budget happy. And look at all your repayment options. Don't go in with blinders. Remove the blinders because nothing's that bad. We don't want to default. We don't want to have more late payments. We want to look at the National Student Loan Data System. We want to look at our credit reports and see what we got. I'm here for you when you have questions at Raina Goble. If you want the book, make sure you go to Barnes & Noble's website because Amazon sold out and you want to get it before Barnes & Noble sells out as well. The other advice I have for you is to ask tons of questions. And finally, most importantly, drink coffee. Just make sure you have plenty of water, too, and try to limit it to 2 cups.
Raina, you were great. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being on the show. Congratulations with the book, and keep it up, and we'll stay tuned, okay? We'll keep in touch with updates.
Yes, thank you so much.
Great, thank you. Folks, next week I'm going to have Attorney Kirby Upright on from King Spry Herman Freund Law Firm to follow up on the impact of the recent Whitewood case, which led to the recognition of same-sex married couples and marriage in Pennsylvania. So we'll give you some good updates on that. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Judy Ann. Thanks, Jeff. Stay tuned for In the Tradition Folk Music with Tom Druckenmiller. Remember, pay attention. Be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.